You just passed it down. I asked him if he had one recorded in here for me. But we appreciate being here tonight. Appreciate what the Lord has done for us and give us. I ain't saying I came with anything. It's just burning on us, I reckon, but... I do appreciate the Lord and what He's given me in my life. And there's a lot of times that we hadn't acknowledged what He's done for us. There's a lot of things I don't even know what He's done for me. I just be honest with you. I know where Brother Lamar always said he'd appreciate all the dangers that He brought him out of. He said, but I also appreciate all the unseen dangers that I didn't know. I think the Perry sang that song, said, He even saved me from what I could have been. I think it's what it come out. And I guess a lot of people, they don't understand this, I reckon, when I say it. And I guess a couple of us found it humorous, I reckon. But I told them, I said, I've often told my kids, I said, you better thank God that He's in my heart. I said, because there's a real evil man that lives right up here. I said, and if he wasn't living down in here, I said, I don't know what could happen, really. But I appreciate Him giving me what He's given me in life. And I know I've said this, and I'll say it again. I said, I tell people, I said, I was born in protective custody. I said, I had a set of parents that loved me enough to pray for me, that prayed protection over me, grandparents that prayed protection, a good church to go to that protected custody. Yes. I said, there's a lot of people, Brother Steve, that ain't got that. Right. You know, there's a lot of folks that ain't even had the love that we've even had. There's a lot of things in life that I can't understand because I've never had nobody not to love me. And for people to go through life, and I wonder why they can do things like that, because sometimes, Brother Mike, they just ain't had nobody to love them. And that's why I tell people, I'm the most blessed man in the world, and I hope everybody feels like they are. You might say, I don't know how you say that. Look what you are living in. Well, I don't put it in what I live in. And I'll be honest with you, I ain't saying this just to have nobody. There's two or three times, and you ask Daddy, I got to stop on the way to work just to re-crank my car a few times. People says, you think you blessed? Yes, I am. Because my hope ain't right here. And I've got a whole lot better dwelling place than what a lot of folks has got. And I don't have to wait till I get over to enjoy it. Because He said, I go and prepare you a place, but I'm going to tell you this, He prepared a place inside of me for Him. So even on my down days, it's still up. Well, we're going to try this. I'm just going to tell you. I thought I was preparing something other for Sunday, to be honest with you. John chapter 1. And I'm just going to have to tell you, and you'll get it when I get it. Because I ain't had time to make up nothing. Not that I definitely try anyway, but sometimes Sometimes the Lord gives it to you too far ahead of time and you mess it up. And I tell this as my, because one of the ladies there at the church, she said, Bruce, I'm going to tell you, she said, when you preach, you make it sound personal. I said, it is. Because I don't know nothing else to preach except what He's done for me. Yeah. And I find things that He's done for me in here. But sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, and I'm going to tell you this. I love confessing. I never understood it till I started hearing a lot of my elder preachers preach and how they confess about things. Brother Dwight Scott asked me and Brother Randy to help in revival over at Ridgeway. And I don't know if anybody's ever got to a place where you felt like you confused the devil. Sitting there at the house one day, and he said, you know, now this is the devil talking to me. He said, I think you ought to preach first before Randy does. And everything. And you know what I said? I said, okay. He waited a few minutes. He said, well, matter of fact, he said, I think you might ought to let Randy go first. And that way he'll get him. And I said, okay. Now, the devil didn't even know what to say to me because I said, okay, on both of them. Got there at night. Randy said, how do you feel? I said, I'm nervous. He said, well, that's good. Preached that night. And then Monday night when Randy was preaching, God gave me a message while he was preaching. Gave me the scriptures, gave me everything. He wrapped it up in a box, put a bow on it, and said, here's your gift. Got home. Next day, took the kids to school because I was laid off at the time. Took Kathy's work, come back home. I'm by myself. And there's that old devil again. He comes back. You know he don't leave you alone. Now he might leave you alone a space of time whenever Jesus comes on the scene, but after that, believe me, if we would be as relentless as he is, it'd be amazing about what we could do, or what God could do through us. I'll say it that way. But God gave me that message, put a bow on it, here's your gift. Get home. I start reading it, and here's the devil. He says, you know, they really ain't much in that. He said, I believe you just need to read on over here. He will give you scriptures to read. I said, okay. So it's three times I agreed with him. Went over there, started reading it. Nothing. Now I'm lost. That's probably the only second time or this time I've ever prayed and begged God to give me back what He gave me. Because I told Him, I don't care if it's just 3 minutes, I'll do what you have me to. But sometimes He can give us something another too far ahead of time and we really get it messed up. Because Bruce gets involved. Chapter 1, John. And we're start at 42. Now y'all gonna have to pray for me because like I said I ain't. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, findeth Philip, and he said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip calleth thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's what we feel like reading. Now, I just want to go back and read where Jesus spoke back to Nathanael. And he said, Because I said to thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now, I'm just going to tell you what my thought is, and we'll just go from there. But the best is yet to come. He said, It amazed you because I told you I seen you there. But greater things. And we can start reading through the scriptures. And Brother Randy, I'll just be honest with you. After I read it, I started thinking there's many stories in there. And some of them we'll probably talk about, but there'll be a whole lot more in it. It's just like it's right here. It's like we've always heard. There'll be more than I could ever tell you when it really comes out of it. But he said, Greater things than this will you see. We can read over there about a woman that came to a well that even the people in the city that didn't even really want to be around her, I'll just be honest with you. The life she lived, the ins and outs, and the way she was living at the time, she came to the well. And I'm sure sometimes in her life she probably felt like that there was some good things happening. She might have momentarily felt good about where she was at. But by the time she got through of talking with Jesus, and Jesus got through talking to her, the Bible says she just left her water pot and she went back and started telling the men, says, Come see a man. And I'm going to tell you that was a greater thing in her life that ever happened than she's ever seen before. Greater things. I start thinking about all the stories that tell, but I'm going to tell you the greatest story that I can tell you about is about an 11-year-old boy. Amen. That when the Spirit started dealing with him, he got lost. He got lost. And I know I've heard our elder preachers preach this before, but I'm going to tell you the biggest problem that we're having these days is we ain't got no lost people. You might say, yes, we do. I know we do. But I'm just going to tell you, we ain't got no lost people. Because people ain't looking for something greater than what they have. Because if they was and they'd realize that they're lost, they'd realize where they're going, they'd find Jesus, and he'd say, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. The best was yet to come. He said, after this, you'll start seeing angels ascending and descending from heaven. Have you ever seen them? Yes, I have. You might say I've never seen a set of wings. I'm just going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you, at moments and times in my life when somebody just comes by, I'll be honest with you, there's a phone call from a fellow I ain't even seen in 8 months. Called me and said, Bruce, I just tell you, I had you on my heart. And I just felt like calling you. You might say, what does that mean? That means he was an angel at that time. I'm going to tell you, at a moment in time in each and every one of our lives, Every one of us has been an angel to somebody. You might say, well, what's that mean? That means the ministering spirit is what angels are. And I'm going to tell you what you go through, what we've been in, and it's a greater thing today than what they was even experienced. It was a fantastic walk with Jesus. Would we all like to be in there? Yes, we would. And it was great. It was good. But I'm going to tell you, whenever He died on the cross, laid in the tomb, resurrected, ascended to heaven, the Spirit came back. You tell me what's even greater than that. The best was yet to come. And the best is here today. Now, one of these days, we're going to a place we won't have to deal with this carnal man no more. We can get in the Spirit, and I'm going to tell you, this is what I told them there, and you can follow that with me if you want to. I have seen heaven. If you have ever really truly been in the Spirit, you have seen heaven. Didn't stay there. And I can't tell you what it's like. John tried his best to describe, and people just don't get it. I ain't even going to sit here and try to describe it. I'm just going to tell you. Get over in it and you'll see it. And that was a greater thing that was a-coming. Yes, it's amazing. And I know this. It amazes me today whenever the Scripture comes about telling us. Now, have you ever had God quote Scripture to you? It is one thing to read it, and it feels okay. But when God quotes Scripture to you, it really makes a difference. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of my experiences, because I just tell you that's all I got. And I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for it. On my job driving a Heister, picking up roads, they've done told us, If that plastic's tore, you tape it up. Tape it up. And I'd get off my Heister, Jeff, and I'd tape it up. Every one of them, tape it up. 2 or 3 days, tape it up. I'd keep doing it. Looking around, everybody's just putting theirs off in the... And even the door guy, marking them off, and they're just hanging. This is why I know that He can read your inner thoughts. I said within myself, I said, I ain't taping another one up. There ain't nobody else doing it. God said, let's see. For a man to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, taping that row up, that ain't sin. It was to me. Because I know to do good. And just because the world ain't doing good don't give us a right not to do good. Doing right and doing good ain't always the easiest thing to do. But it is the right thing to do. Thurman Hightower, he was alive. Randy was our pastor this last time. He said, Brother Thurman's going to preach next Sunday morning. I was the most excited fellow you could ever see for a whole week. Brother Thurman's going to preach. And I prayed as hard as I could pray, Lord, you let him feel like he was 16 again. Give it to us. I don't care if he preaches another 3-hour message like he normally. Give it to us. Sunday morning, come in excited, get up here. Brother Randy gets up and says, Brother Thurman called me. Said he's sick today. He ain't going to make it. God reads your inner thoughts again. I said within myself, he ain't sick. He just don't want to be here. On the way out the door, Randy said, how about you standing Wednesday night? I said, all right. Wednesday morning, got up, I was sick as I've ever been. called Brother Randy, I ain't going to make it, I'm sick. God said, now what are they going to think about you? Judge ye not. That's what he said. Judge ye not in the same manner that you'll be judged. My next phone call was, Brother Thurman, I'm sorry. He didn't know I did it. And he still, I don't even think, understood when I was trying to explain to him. He didn't know it, but I knowed it. And I owed that man an apology because I judged him. People walks around and say, I don't like it when people judges me. I don't like it when people judges me. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's thoughts that goes through our mind we can't help. The very first thought that crosses your mind when you wake up in the morning, you can't help. You can help if you entertain it or not. And that's why he says in this right here, you know, keep it on our meditate on it day and night. Keep meditating. You got to meditate on the word because if you don't, something else is going to take its place. William was about to be born. He was early, things happening like what this right here was a deal. Didn't know what was going on. Taking her out to the car because they said, hey, you won't have him tonight because we can't help him if he ain't here. So I'm putting her in the car, and as I shut her door, God says, my grace is sufficient. God's voice will relieve all fear when he speaks to you and you believe it. I couldn't even make myself get scared that day. I called Mama. I said, hey, this is what's happening. Mama, being the good mama she was, she rushed up there. She grabbed hold of me. Son, I know you're worried. I said, I ain't worried. Well, I know. No, you don't. I said, I ain't worried. I said, because I'm going to tell you this. God said his grace was sufficient to me. So, when God quotes Scripture, you know it. Just because somebody can rattle off where it's at and read a verse or two and tell you something other, I'm going to say this. You can treat this just like a book. And you can kill people with it. Have you ever had somebody continually, whenever you're doing something, they're always saying, the Bible says, the Bible says. Sometimes God ain't told me to tell nobody what the Bible says. But I'm going to tell you this, when he tells you what the Bible says, and you to tell them, he's working on that other end. And you will not use it as a tool against somebody. Now, there was a young lady that worked down there with me. I'm going to say this. I don't believe it, but she come up to me one day. She said, Bruce, she said, I heard you was a Baptist preacher. I said, yes. And she said, well, you know I got a wife. I said, yes. She said, what do you think about that? I told Daddy even before that, I said, she's going to ask one day. I said, I've already prayed to God to help me answer. I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, have I ever mistreated you? She said, nope, you hadn't. I said, I've always been nice to you. She said, yes. And I said, well, I can't help how nobody else is, but I can help how I am. I says, but now to answer your question, according to God's word, it's a sin, and it forevermore will be. And she talked to her a few minutes, and she said, well, I just don't like it when people judges me. I said, well, I'm going to promise you this. I'm not going to judge you at all. I says, but I will tell you this. The Scriptures will judge you, and it'll judge me. It don't leave me out. And because anybody in the Owens family, I'm going to tell you, if there's sin in the Owens family, it's still sin. We're not exempt just because of who we think that we are. But at the end of the conversation, she looked at me, she says, well, I know I'm wrong and I'm going to have to pay for it one day. And I said, Well, I don't know what we're doing having this conversation. I'm going to tell you what she's looking for. She was looking for me to be jumpy, to really push, and to really condemn is what she's looking for. But I thank God that He answered my prayer whenever I was praying beforehand. Things, a lot of times, a lot of things does not sneak up on us. Because I'm going to tell you, the world does what the world's supposed to be doing. But if we do what the Christian, well, he preached last week, the Christian's supposed to do, it'll make a difference in the world. People just throws around the Christian name now. They just throw it around. But I'm going to tell you this. You know what you are. The world knows what you are. And the devil knows what you are. If you are, you are. And if you ain't, you ain't. And the world knows it. We can put portrayals all we want to, and people say, oh, I accidentally did that. I accidentally said that. I accidentally took it. There ain't that many accidents. Because I'm going to tell you this, there's something on inside of me, Jeff, that lets me know before I do something if it's right or wrong. Now, he don't make me do right, but he sure lets me know that this is wrong. And I'm going to tell you this, you will not get by. You will not get by. But I'm going to say this one more testimony, then I'll bring my remarks to a close. I'm glad that God takes care of us. Driving back, and I know I probably give these testimonies before, but that's fine because they're mine. I'm grateful to have testimonies. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Everything I can testify into my life ain't good. But I'm glad I got more goods that I can hang on to than the badnesses. But driving through Atlanta, raining cats and dogs, in that van, the wipers quit. Traffic of Atlanta, raining, no wipers. I was in the right-hand lane. I told myself, that's why I know he can read your thoughts. I'm going to tell you, you know he can. Because you got some of these your own self. I tell myself, I'm going to have to pull over. He said, why? I said, because I can't see. He said, if you just pay attention to that white line right there, he said, you'll be okay. Just stay close to the white line and you'll be okay. You know, if you stay on that white line, you don't get in nobody else's traffic. You just stay close to the line. So I'm driving, I'm paying attention to that line. So finally make it all the way up, finally make it to Dyersville. It starts clearing off a little bit. Pull up on Connector 3, look over, and there's a rainbow. As pretty as you please. There again, I thought, I'm fixing to drive under God's promise. And I thought I was excited about saying that. But then he spoke to me again. He said, son, he said, you've been under my promise for a long time. Ain't you glad, Mike, that he knows you? Ain't you glad that he knows your thoughts? Ain't you glad that whenever you're having some thoughts that you shouldn't be having, that he comes on the scene and he fixes it? Greater things than these, you'll see. These boys really longed for our days. Abraham, we call him the father of faith, and of course he is. But he longed to see what we have. Greater things he was looking for. And he was probably sitting there thinking, the best is yet to come. And it just keeps getting better. Now, if Bobby Green was here, he'd tell you it just keeps getting gooder. But it keeps getting better. Do I do what I'm supposed to all the time? No, I don't. Do I wish I did? Yes, I do. But it's also them times, just like I think that Susan them sings when they sing Through It All. It's in that midnight hours when I'm by myself, don't think I've got a hope to nothing, that he comes and visits and lets me know I'm still here. And guess what? There's greater things that's still going to be coming. We ain't seen the peak of this. I'm going to tell you this. If we have seen the peak of it, we might as well quit, because ain't nothing else to look forward to. But he said he's got a storehouse that he's got up there that we ain't even touched yet, that he wants to give us, but he can't because of what we do and what we don't do. But greater things is a-coming. Let's just be around to see it. I'm going to tell you this, then I'll sit down. You are one of the greater things that he was talking about. You tell me right now on the face of the earth, what's greater than the church? Nothing. Brother Sylvia Foster said this one time over there. He said, I've served the Lord for 65 years. He said, if I had found something better, I would have left him a long time ago. But he was still looking for some greater things that's coming. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You can say that, but are you using it? Because that greater might be in there, but if I ain't using it, then what good is it? So let's let that little light shine. Let them know there's something greater. Because I'm going to tell you this, every soul that has ever existed and will exist has a desire to have a relationship with God. You might say, well, I've seen this fella and he don't have, but I'm going to tell you, you don't see his soul. That soul is yearning for salvation. But because he's not letting that greater thing that can come, that mind, the world that's right here, has got him blocked off. Well, I'm one of them preachers that's probably told a lie that day. He talks about, says, I'm going to hush. But I'm going to hush here just in a minute. Kathy, one of her sisters, and she's probably going to get on to me when I get home, but they got an argument on the phone. She tried to call back, her sister tried to call her. She wouldn't, you know how we are. We ain't talking to them. So I come home, get the phone, and I'm talking to her sister. I said, look, I said, only thing I can tell you, she said, well, I heard her and I know I did. I said, y'all want to, you can't apologize right now. You cannot apologize to anybody just anytime you get ready, because they got to be ready. Now, I said this, I described it like this. I said, I'm going to tell you, God's in her heart, but her mind is what's mad. And there's a blockage that's right here that God can't talk to her right now. I said, but if you leave it alone, I said, God will be doing this. He'll be chipping away. And he'll be working on her. I said, then there'll be a time where you can say, I'm sorry. Now that's what we get sometimes. We know God's telling us something, but we ain't having it. And until we get to that place, the prodigal son, when he came to himself, they might have been somebody down there that says, boy, you're to go back home. I don't know if they was or not, but I'm just going to tell you, somebody's in this world probably, hey, you'll just go back home. But until you get to that place that I'm lost. And now I know where to go to get what I need. They won't do nothing. They can't. One of the songs, matter of fact, that we sang says, if you stay until all things is better, you'll not come at all. This young boy told LC one time, he said, I don't want to come to the Lord because I'm afraid of Him. I want to come to Him because I love Him. LC said, well, you won't come to Him then. He said, how can you love something other that's breaking your heart? He said, now when I come to Him and He healed me, He said, I loved Him. He said, but I didn't come to Him just because I was hip, hip, hooray, I'm in love with Jesus, now I'm going to get saved. He said, I came with that broken heart and that contrite spirit. He said, and He didn't turn me away. And that was one of the greater things in His life. I'm glad I've got the greater. He told him, he said, greater things than this you're going to see. If this amazes you, you just hang on. You're going to see some other things. I have been amazed in my life about how God works, about what God gives. People says, you've been going to church all your life and you still amazed? Yes, I am. And I'm going to tell you this. When I come back to the church Sunday, I want to be amazed again. I want to wake up in the morning and be amazed again. Because He's got some amazement. The greater things than this. But the greatest day of my life, Danny, 11-year-old boy, and He saved my soul. I didn't come to church looking to be saved that night. But I sure wanted to be saved before I left. And He did. Greater things than this.